when I was a kid, my grandmother made me sing in front of a small church a couple of the Christmas carols. It was impromptu. I was visiting with my family, and she said, "Hey, my grandson loves to sing. Let's bring him up and have him sing." And if you notice, some of the words of Christmas carols are kind of hard. You know, you got to have the lyrics up there or you'll mess it up. And so I was just kind of, praise the Lord. I'm just kind of working my way through it. And then I've had several instances of this in my life. Then I ran off the stage and hid again. So I don't know. I just need therapy, I guess, around this time of year when we sing these songs. And it brings back some great grandma memories. Anyway. Speaking of which, one of the things that I long for in my life is a feeling of peace, a feeling of knowing, kind of a tranquil feeling that things are going to be okay no matter what. And we've been covering some different topics that kind of flow from the character of God during the Advent season, celebrating Christmas. If you remember, in the past weeks, we talked about hope, we talked about love, we talked about joy, and today we're talking about peace. And according to the Advent tradition, anybody know what this candle is for? This is the Christ candle. So you got to come tomorrow night to see that one lit, otherwise you're in trouble. But that's what's happening tomorrow night, and it reminds us of the focus of what we're doing. I was doing a little bit of reading about peace, and the reason why I kind of got on my brain was I've noticed through the years that one of the things that people wish for at this time of year is world peace. You know, I pray for world peace, whether they're praying people or not, I wish for world peace. And so I just did a little bit of research, and there was an article in Psychology Today that really struck me. I think it was written maybe in 2010 or so, and it was a guy that was saying, he was just asking the question, is world peace possible? Is it possible to have peace on earth? And his conclusion was, yes, but you have to have individual life change, individual transformation, person to person, in order for peace to be transposed to everywhere in the world. And he said the way that you do that is that you try to be as happy as you can be. Whatever makes you happy, pursue it, be happy, and then your happiness will be contagious to someone else, and eventually we'll all get along. And I didn't want to call the guy naive, but in my opinion, and according to Scripture, not just me, our hearts are irreparably broken with sin, and personal happiness isn't something that we can even know what it is all the time, let alone pursue it and gain it ourselves. I think he was right that individual life change needs to happen in order for peace to exist, but it's individual life change specifically based upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And he is the author of peace. He is the one that will give us peace if we give our hearts to him. He's our only hope to have that. And so when I think about people asking for world peace, I think it's fine. It's a noble thing. But when I ever hear that, I stop and I pray. And I say, hey, God, could you give everyone peace through Jesus Christ? May they find peace only in you. May the world know who you are. Otherwise, we have no hope of that ever happening. So we're talking about peace and being in terms of being a right relationship with God. We're talking about peace in terms of that tranquil feeling that things will be okay. My idea this month has been this. God often interrupts our lives to teach us about the source of lasting peace. Let me pray for us and we'll jump in. Father, thank you for being clear in Scripture about the brokenness of who we are. And thank you that you love us in spite of that. That you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through your Son. And you have made peace and a relationship with you possible through what he has done for us, his life, his death, and then his resurrection that we celebrate in Easter. And so we're grateful for your love for us. We're grateful that peace is possible through you. And I would ask, Father, that you would do what you need to do in our lives this season to interrupt us a little bit, to get us to focus on hope and love and joy and especially peace today. And then give us a desire or a creative way to pass those things on to others, because we know our world desperately needs it, and we need to know that things are going to be okay as we trust in you. So thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, speak to us now in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. God often interrupts our lives to teach us about the source of lasting peace, where it comes from, not again through positive thinking or self-effort or trying to be personally happy, but it comes from outside of ourselves through the character of God. So I just spell it out for you this way in the first point. Peace comes from Jesus and is experienced through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Peace comes from the person and the work of Jesus Christ and is experienced in our daily lives by the presence of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died for us, when he rose from the dead, when he was still in his resurrected form, he said to his disciples, he said, gosh, you know, I know that you guys are worried about me, but here's the deal. I'm leaving, and I've taught this before you before, but now you're going to see me now, and I'm going to be leaving, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the counselor who's going to help you in life. You need his presence to make it through. It's the best gift that I could give you during this time. And so that's what we're talking about here. I'm in Romans chapter 8. Let's just read just a little bit about our condition and why we need Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. And so these words here in the language is basically this. Those who intentionally choose to live a lifestyle of independence and do their own thing, okay? Not following God, but those who intentionally choose to live in rebellion towards God and to do what they want to do opposed to what God wants to do. They set their minds are set on those desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, those who intentionally choose to live a life according to God's Spirit and his presence in our lives, in accordance with the Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. That's where I can make a statement like, without Christ, there is no lasting peace. You can't pursue happiness on your own because according to our sinful nature and according to what directs our minds, and that's sin and rebellion and selfishness, we can't please God. We can't fix the problems on our own. All we can do is reflect the nature of the things that are happening in our lives. Sins according to a lifestyle, a choice of allowing sin to control us rather than Jesus Christ. A lot of the things that were written in Scripture were written to remind us of who God is and to give us peace when we don't necessarily feel it. An example of this, it's sort of a strange verse that I pulled out here for you, and I'd love you to read, if you have the time, I'd love you to read probably at least chapter 14, John 14, 15, and 16, if you have the time this week. It has some great things that Jesus says to us about his life. But in verse 33 of 16, he sums it up this way. I have told you these things, all that you're going to read on your own, right? So I can trust you to read this stuff. I have told you all these things and other things so that in me you may have what? You may have peace. Peace is located in me. In this world, you will have trouble. You'll have things that will overcome you. You'll have things that will disturb you and break your heart, make you feel desolate and alone, whatever it might be. But take heart, be encouraged, be at rest in your spirit because I have overcome the world. Jesus, I am more powerful than anyone who has ever lived or will live, and I will give you that sense of peace. For some reason, thinking about my grandmother making me sing those Christmas songs. I miss her, by the way. She's in heaven with the Lord, and she prayed for me every day. But you had to be ready when you're going to church because you might serve whether you want to or not. But when I was young, I wanted peace to know that my sins were forgiven, but I had trouble feeling it, mainly because I kept doing things wrong. I had two sisters, and I would torture them and feel bad, and then I'd come back to church. And so basically in our Baptist church when I was young, we would do an altar call every Sunday. So you would come forward and you would confess that you need Christ and pray and those kinds of things. So I was a frequent flyer in this area of the church. And the pastor, I'm so embarrassed thinking about it now, but he has to be thinking, oh gosh, here comes Derek again, great. You know, so I would come down and I would confess that I'd done something mean to my sister or I told a lie or whatever. And honestly, I wasn't trying to bother him or anybody else. I was just trying to sort of feel that sense of peace that things are okay. Well, if I take this verse, 16:33, I have told you these things, and I look back and look at some of the things that Jesus spoke and said when he was on earth, guess what? He is my source of peace, and when he says my sins will be forgiven if I believe in him, guess what? My sins are forgiven. I can put it down. It doesn't depend upon me. It doesn't depend upon my church attendance, how smart I am, whatever, how many Christmas hymns I can sing by memory. It doesn't depend on any of that stuff. What it depends upon is what Christ has done on the cross for me. And so peace, that feeling that things are going to be okay, is possible through the promises of God. And that's why it's important to know the Bible and to be familiar with these kinds of things. I figured it out one day when I started reading the Bible in college and realized that my sins were forgiven and God loved me no matter what, because he promised and he always keeps his promises. And the Holy Spirit began to nurture that in my heart. But peace comes from Jesus and his experience through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be sort of the controlling factor of our lives. He should be leading and guiding us into understanding truth in Scripture and understanding and feeling that peace. So let's talk just a little bit more about inner peace. Inner peace, letter B on your outline there, inner peace is possible no matter how bad things get. I'm defining inner peace as this. Basically, it's the restful, tranquil state of your soul where you're not like sort of immobilized by anxiety and worry. It's that restful state, and it comes because you know that your salvation is secure, that you're forgiven because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have anything to fear from God because God looks at you and sees his son Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection. So he promises forgiveness. So God sees Jesus in us and we can live above our circumstances. Our circumstances don't determine our reality. Jesus does, and his promises are bigger than what we can go through in this life. So I can go through life no matter what's happening and be a tranquil, peaceful person because of who God is. I'm secure in my salvation. I know that God loves me no matter what. And by the way, if you ever read 1 John, if you ever read other sections of the New Testament, is there a possibility of sort of like 50% forgiveness? You know, like, does God ever say, like, I'll forgive you for this, but man, if you do this, forget it? Is that consistent with what we know? He doesn't grade on the curve, and he doesn't say this is really good and this is really bad. He says all of it is bad. There is no one that's not sinful in the world, and no one whose heart is not deceitfully wicked and beyond repair. And so when he forgives, it's 100% forgiveness based upon him, not based upon you. And so be at rest. Have your soul be at peace. I'm in Psalm 116. I love these psalms because it sort of helps my heart when I'm feeling anxious or worried, and it helps me how to pray and those kinds of things. Psalm 116, verse 1, it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my cry. Basically, he's always listening to me. He's never sorry to see me come, you know, like the pastor when I would come forward every Sunday. Jesus is always glad that I come to him and talk to him. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, please save me. The feeling of this language here isn't, hey, could you help me out with something? It's more like complete surrender. I've got nowhere else to go. I've got no hope, peace, love, joy. I got nothing unless you intervene and help me, God. Verse 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous, and God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Catch this little last verse here. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Be at rest. That's that sense of that tranquil state, that inner peace, that things are going to be okay. Where does that come from? It comes from Jesus. We've talked about it. Peace only comes through him. It comes through the Holy Spirit in our lives. But if you think about it in sort of a big picture sense, the peace, the tranquil state, the rest primarily comes from God's presence in our lives and God being with us. I pull out another little interesting verse here. You might want to think about it and read beforehand. I'm in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, actually Exodus 31, 32, especially in 33. It's really interesting. It tells a crazy story of Moses going away to get a word from God and to hear from him. And the Israelites have been wandering in the desert. And Moses is so far away in terms of just time and distance. And all of a sudden, he's not back. They're worried that something happened to him. He's never coming back. These people are so fearful. They don't have any peace in their heart that they say, okay, we need someone else besides Moses to take care of us. And you remember what they did? They wanted a golden calf. They wanted an idol. They made Aaron produce out of the fire a golden calf. And they said, this will be our mediator. This will be the person that we will follow. And as crazy as it is to think about, human nature is like that. If God has been silent, if you don't know what he's doing in your life, if you're not careful, you might say, you know, this Christianity thing doesn't really work. I should try something else. I should try to find peace in my career or in money or those kinds of things. I know the golden calf seems strange, but we have lots of things that we idolize and try to find peace in. So basically, Moses finally comes back, and 3,000 people die that day. And Moses is not only angry, he's kind of griping at the Lord. How do I lead these people? How do I follow these people? These people are just kind of driving me crazy. And in verse 14, chapter 33, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I will be with you no matter where you go, and I will never leave or forsake you, is another place in the New Testament that talks about that. Jesus is with us. We're never alone. And he says, my presence will help you find that inner strength to overcome your circumstances, to find hope and trust. Again, not because everything's great in your life. God never promises that things will be great. In fact, the New Testament says more about following Jesus Christ and suffering than it does say about being prosperous and healthy and those kinds of things. But that aside, God says, I am with you and I will keep you safe, and your salvation is secure, your sins are forgiven, you're going to live forever in my presence. So wherever you go, I'm with you, and you don't have anything to worry about. I've tried to reflect upon how this has worked out in my life, and I don't really have a lost story. Do you guys have a lost story where you got sort of lost and you wandered off from your parents and they couldn't find you? If you're a parent, you probably have a lost story about your children. I mean, I had one child that was just, unless I tied him to a rope, I never knew where he was. He just went and left, and he made friends with everybody, you know, and you'd have to get on the zoo microphone or whatever. Could somebody come to meet their parents at the desk or whatever? I did that quite a bit as a parent. I don't have one myself, so I don't know exactly that panic feel of being totally alone, but I can only imagine what it must feel like. And even in that situation, God says, look, I'm right here with you. I will hold your hand. I will keep you safe. I don't know what it is about Christmas. I don't know what it is about the holidays, but it's sort of also, it's joyous and it's fun, but it also brings up some hard things too. I can't tell you how many people that I have loved and known that have died around the holidays, and I don't know why that happens a lot. But so a lot of times Christmas is associated with grief and loss, not just the wonderful birth of Jesus Christ, and we all feel these kinds of things. I feel them a little bit more intimately as a pastor, because not only are you going through it, but I'm sort of vicariously going through it with you when I get to know you, when I pray, and when I try to help you. Just last week, here was my week. I had a teenager that was really in distress and was really, really struggling and despairing of their life, and so I had to work with that teenager. I had a real dear friend that I've been discipling. He's come to Christ, and he got arrested. I had two people that have lost loved ones that they were really close to, that their parents had died, and they were looking for some comfort. I had a couple of marriage issues where the men were being jerks. They're not always jerks, but a lot of times it's the man's fault, I'm just saying. But anyway, where the men weren't responding and loving their wife the way that they should. I had a financial crisis for another couple. And so it kind of, if you can picture all those tasks with like wearing a hat, each day I got up and it was like, I got to put this hat on. I'm a counselor today. I'm a financial advisor today. You know what I mean? Or whatever. I mean, just, I'm a pastor and a shepherd today. I'm being honest with you, not because I'm such a great person. Normally that kind of stuff is pretty overwhelming. But if I understand the inner peace of Christ, and if I understand that he's with me, and if I understand that he's working in people's lives for their good, not for their ill will, and if it's him that has to work, not just me, I can go through those things and still have peace in my heart. Does that make sense at all? I can let those things just sort of they affect me. And, you know, I go home and my head's kind of spinning and I've got several hats on. And it's like, okay, put the hat down. Let's just eat dinner or whatever. So I, it affects me, but it doesn't immobilize me or ruin me because of the strength of God's Spirit in my life. It's Him. It's not me. And He can do the same thing for you no matter what you're going through. I forgot. There's a couple people that just got diagnosed with terminal illnesses. Anyway, I love my job and I love the hope that I can give, but that hope is dependent upon Christ. He is our hope, not me. I just couldn't do it on my own. I doubt that you could do it as well, or you can. So we really need Him. Inner peace is possible, no matter how bad things might get. And then as I've been talking in this series quite often, I make this statement: peace is supposed to be contagious and passed on to others. Just like hope and love and joy, God gives us these things through the presence of His Spirit as a miracle in our own lives to be able to go through our own personal circumstances, but also to do what I did last week and hopefully I can do every week of my life: help others that need peace, help others that need hope. It's supposed to be contagious. Have you guys been worried about flu and different bugs going around? Have you been seeing a lot of people around you getting sick and those kinds of things? I'm a closet hypochondriac, so I confess I wash my hands an awful lot. But here's the deal. I've got a job where almost everything that I do involves contagious things because I'm shaking hands with, like, the world. And I see you guys out there. I see you guys go, hey, Pastor Derek. I mean, I'm just saying, I know what happens in the reality of life. I see kids rub their nose, and then they're touching my hand and stuff. So, you know what? I'm human contagion. Not totally sure why I'm talking about this, but I want to be that way with the good things of God, not with germs. So when I pass you by, I want to be contagious with, gosh, I hung out with Pastor Derek, and I feel a little bit more joyful. I feel a little bit more at peace with what's going on in my life. And I want us to be contagious people. I want us to infect one another with these great qualities so that people won't miss them when we shake their hand, so to speak, and when we spend time with them. Peace is supposed to be contagious, and it's passed on to others. Let me give you an example, sort of a Christmas story example in the book of Luke. It's about John the Baptist. Everybody talks about Jesus, and we should. He's our Savior. He's our source of hope and peace and forgiveness. We can't talk about Jesus enough, but John the Baptist had a pretty important role as well, and he was sort of setting the stage for Christ coming for the nation of Israel to understand who he was. And so this was sort of John's role. It was part of his charge. I mean, Luke chapter 1, verse 76. This is a sort of a prophecy about what he's going to be doing. And you, my child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So I think about sort of being like John the Baptist. We are not the object of peace, but we're the pathway that can kind of lead to peace, that can kind of lead to hope for things that are going on in people's lives. It can be the thing that can help guide them to find faith in Jesus Christ. It can even be a really good thing out of something bad. God has an amazing way to use awful circumstances to bring glory to his name. I was just reflecting on one, so I'll give you this little story. 1978, I was in junior high school, and I was in band at the time. The band director got the dreaded job of telling me that my favorite grandpa had passed away. And I felt, now I look back on it, I feel bad for the guy. He had to break the news to me in his band office, and I just fell apart and was crying and everything. And he was trying to comfort me as best he could. But I remember going to my grandfather's funeral in Kansas City, Missouri, and it was a long room with a little stage area. And I remember sitting there just missing my grandpa already and thinking, gosh, you know, wonder how my dad's doing. It's the only time in my whole life I saw my dad cry, and it was just one tear. Just kind of went down the side of his cheek, and that's it. I've never seen him cry again. So he was obviously broken. We were all looking for peace. And I remember there was a guy there, and I don't even remember his name. He was a distant cousin or something. He saw that I was broken up. I tended to make a scene. There was drama that kind of surrounded me most of my childhood. So I was making a scene. I was crying or whatever. And so he took me outside and just said, "Hey, I want you to know your grandpa loves you, and he's in heaven with Jesus, and you can be at peace because you're going to see him again." And it just, it made a difference. It really helped me for a 12, 13-year-old boy. It made a difference. Fast forward about 35 years later, I'm in that same exact place, but this time I am conducting the funeral for my grandmother, my grandpa's wife, 35 years later. And so now, not only am I needing peace, I'm leading other people into peace, and focusing upon Christ. It was just a, it was just a strange moment how life moves around. I was a kid, I didn't have a lot of peace. God gave it to me. Now I'm sort of the peace giver to everyone else 35 years later in my grandmother's funeral. I'm grateful that God uses things that are hard to help others, aren't you? I mean, it's great. One of the greatest joys in life is to realize that you're talking with someone that's been through something similar to you so that you can say, "Hey, God is still good. He helped me. He can help you." He can give you that inner sense of rest and security. So, in summing up these characteristics and talking about these things, I've been trying to introduce you to a few people that I think are good for you to get to know. God's doing some great things at our church. The hard thing about a church our size and two services is you don't always know what's happening. You don't get to know everyone. So I wanted Guy and Rebecca, if you guys could come up here, Guy and Rebecca LeDuc, to come up and share with you just briefly this morning. I got your microphone here if you want to sit there. Since you guys are married, I got you a nice love seat, so you guys can sit there together. There's a microphone for you. So what I've been doing is, as I've been introducing people and stuff, first I just want to say you guys are one of my favorite couples here. I've enjoyed getting to know you. And Guy and I have a similar background. We lived a while in Seattle and went to some of the same churches and stuff like that, so that's kind of fun. I've enjoyed your sweet spirit, Rebecca, and the courage that you've had. So I just was curious, when it comes to peace and finding Christ and finding each other, tell us a little bit of the story of that or how that happened. I'm going to hold it up by you.
Okay. I'm like you from your grandmother. I'm nervous. And
that's okay. Sorry.
But anyway, I was saved, thankfully, as a young child, and I'm thankful that I knew God's peace all through my life and through the ups and downs of life. And I was able to use his peace through my whole life and through the struggles and good times because I knew him. I knew his word. I loved studying his word and trusting him in times, you know, when you don't understand what's happening. And
well, good. How about you, Guy?
Yeah, so I grew up in church, going to youth group, and didn't fully surrender my life to Christ until I was about 20, and really started to believe what I had been taught in church and what I had been taught by my parents and those around me and what I read in the Word. So I really had to surrender, at that point. I have my Bible here today. My parents gave me this in 1988, so about 30 years ago. And little did they know that over the course of 30 years, I would go through, you know, the loss of a spouse when I was 31, a huge financial crisis 10 years after that in 2008, where it lasted a long time. We almost lost our house. There was a lot of pain, a lot of, you know, kind of suffering through that. And then a couple years ago, Rebecca was diagnosed with cancer, and you know, over the course of 30 years, this book, you know, has been my peace. It's been my sense of comfort, sense of joy. That with prayer and, a lot of angry talk with God, you know, through those hard times. But and then the fellowship of believers. I mean, in each of those three major events in my life, the fellowship of believers has really kind of carried me through and provided that, you know, God used people to instill peace through those struggles. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And during that year of going through that, diagnosed and multiple surgeries and everything, I had his peace. It was that perfect peace. I never was concerned about, you know, dying and life after death. It was truly a peace there. It was more of a struggle of worrying about your children and dealing with pain and stuff. But I'm very thankful to everyone here. Everyone loved on us, prayed for us, and served us in many ways, and that was very comforting. And yeah, we're very thankful to everyone.
Well, good, and our family was the beneficiary of that. You prayed and were very comforting to my wife, Julie, when she was going through cancer. And it's just strange how we experience peace, but then he really does want us to pass it on to others and help them. And that's another reason why I like you guys. Guy, you've taken a step of faith and you bought a house. Tell us a little bit about sort of your idea of passing peace on to others and how that's going.
Yeah, so about a year ago, or better, I just really wanted to kind of be able to pass peace and hope and love, you know, to people that are broken and that many who have not had a chance since childhood, you know, with the horrible childhood that they've many people have grown up through and turned to addiction and crime and things of that nature. So about a year and a half ago, I prayed, you know, Lord, how can I help, you know, with housing people in crisis, right? People that are have done a lot of damage to themselves and others, and how do I love people like that? So, yeah, we just kind of, you know, just one thing led to another, and we opened a home in Northboro where we have anywhere from 8 to 9 guys that are coming out of treatment centers and out of incarceration. And it's that forum that I'm able to, you know, share all that God's brought me through, you know, in 30 years, to be able to say, because a lot of guys have trouble with, if God is such a loving God and God is peace and joy and hope, you know, why did I go through the life I went through, right? So to be able to share and testify, you know, that you won't find peace without Jesus, and as painful as that can be to get your arms around it, you need to explore that, and you need to really, you know, give Christ a chance and pray through that.
So, yeah. Well, and it's funny. You guys probably don't know Guy as well as I do, but he talks about it so casually. You know, I got a house and I got 10 guys that we're trying. I mean, that's a huge undertaking.
It is.
With a lot of emotional and physical and financial risk. How do you keep peace with being married to a guy like this?
It's been difficult. No.
Yes, it has.
No, I think, you know, it definitely comes from our foundation. You know, when we were dating, our dating time was focused on God. We met in church, and, you know, people have songs for their relationships or times when they were dating. Ours was a Christian album that we always listened to. And so that's helped us through everything, you know, our foundation being Christ.
So. And she knew when she signed up for this that I wasn't a traditional type person to sit in an office or, you know.
He was working at a homeless shelter.
Yeah, I've been passionate about helping, you know, the less fortunate, I guess you'd say. So, so it's a passion, it's a calling, it's something that I firmly believe in, and Rebecca's been amazingly gracious along the way. When you want to do what now? So,
Well, I'm really thankful for you guys. Thankful for your witness and your example. Thankful for how God brought such good things out of heartache early on in your life and gave you such a wonderful person and Rebecca and your kiddos and stuff. And so, we're just grateful that you're part of the Chapel family. And one of the things I haven't said with the others that I should have is if you ever want to say hi to these guys or talk to them and be encouraged, or if you have questions, please feel free to get to know them because they're great, encouraging people to be
around.
Absolutely. So thank you, guys. Let's give them a
hand. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. Good job. Thank you very much. It's not that easy to get up here and do this stuff, so I appreciate you guys a lot. So how do we frame it together? Basically, just a couple of application things. Have you embraced the peace of God? Have you received the peace of Jesus? I've been challenging you each week. If you're here and you've never crossed that threshold of faith, and if you ever said, Jesus, I admit that I'm broken. I've tried to be happy on my own, like that Psychology Today article I referenced. I've tried to do everything. Perhaps the nation of Israel, you know, I've followed my old golden calves of whatever form, but now I need you, Jesus. I'm just telling you, he says, I am your peace. I have overcome the world. There is no forgiveness and hope unless you give your heart to him. No one can do it for you. You just have to say, Jesus, I need you, please. Forgive me. I receive you into my life. I believe in your life, your death, your resurrection. And I promise he'll be with you and he'll help you through whatever's going on in your life. And he'll be with you for all eternity in that respect. And so I hope that that's you. Second is, you know, just like with the LaDukes, can you pass that peace on? How can you pass that peace on to others? How do you has God given you a creative idea to sort of get involved in people's lives? Maybe it's not specifically that, but it's something else. It's just something little, you know, like, I don't know them very well, but I pray for my new neighbors that moved in, and they live kind of a crazy life, and they're hardly at home. I'm not totally sure what's going on, but I pray for them, and I smile, and I wave, and I'm hoping for the opportunity to talk to them one day to pass on that peace. So just be thinking about little things like that, like being nice to your neighbor, whatever it might be. But God loves you. He desires to give you peace and to transform your life, and he wants you to help others as well. So let me pray for us, and then we'll wind up today. Father, thank you for your love and your peace that comes from you, Jesus. Jesus, I know when you walked the earth, you lived a peaceful life, but it also you were fully human, and so you had to experience a lot of the worries and the pain and the rejection. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before you gave your life on the cross, you prayed and asked for a different way. And so I always appreciate that about you, Jesus. You knew how difficult it was going to be to bring peace to the world, and yet you trusted God and did what your Father wanted you to do. And we're the recipients of that blessed life that you lived, your courage to give your life for us. And so, Father, thank you for allowing that to happen. I pray that we would be at peace this Christmas season and secure in our relationship with you and not fearing anything from you, knowing you're with us wherever we go. And I pray again that that'd be contagious to others. Maybe even in the next couple days, maybe we can bring somebody to the Christmas Eve service or whatever it might look like, help us to pass that peace on. Thanks for what you're doing in our lives and in our church, Lord. And we continue to praise you for all things that happen here because it's because of you. And you deserve all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.